Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? What about the weather? Y'all okay with the weather being a little bit chilly? Yes, I know. It feels so good. Yeah, it's okay to clap for that. You can clap for the weather. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. My name's Eddie Tilly. I'm on staff here at Cathedral. If this is your first time here, we're so excited about you guys being here. This round of applause is just for you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning and for being here. Hope you're enjoying the service. We're getting ready to receive our offering, so guest services is coming down. And as they do, let me tell you about an awesome event that we have coming up here in just a couple of weeks. Hallapalooza. Not Halloween, Hallapalooza. How many of you guys have been to Hallapalooza here? Let me see your hands. Is it a great event to come to or what? Oh, yeah, man, you got fair food, you got funnel cakes, you got rides, you got games, lots of candy for the kids. And people love a good, safe place where they can come on Halloween night where they don't have to worry about all kind of craziness going on, people hanging from trees, people jumping out the corners and scaring you. Ain't got to worry about none of that, okay? It's safe, it's fun, it's family-friendly. It's a great way to introduce people to the church. You might have some friends or family or coworkers that you haven't been able to quite get them to come to a Sunday service, but to come someplace where they can have fun, where their kids can be safe and get a lot of candy, they'll usually come to that. So it's a great time to introduce them to the church and the church campus. So we'd really love for you guys to do that. And to kind of help you remember exactly what it's all about, take a look at the screen. Now, as much fun as it is to be here and participate in everything, it's a lot of fun when you're helping out, when you're part of the team that's running those game booths and helping the kids. The kids love it. You love it. And we could really use the help. Every year it takes hundreds of volunteers to pull that off. And everybody has a blast. And some people come and they volunteer for the whole thing. Some people say, hey, I can give you an hour. I can give you 2 hours. Some people are like, I'm bringing my older kids anyway. They're going to be running around all over the place. There's no reason why I can't help out. So if that's you, we would love to have your help. We can always take all the help we can get. It's just a fun, fun atmosphere. So if you want to do that, we've made it super easy for you to get involved. Right after this service, right here in this section, just come have a seat right here, and we'll meet with you immediately following the service, give you all the information you need to get you on board so you can help out at Hallapalooza. All right, so we're going to pray over our offering, and then we've got an awesome song for you guys. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity in the service just to continue our worship, just to continue to visibly put you first in our lives. And so we do worship you this morning, Lord, with our tithes and our offerings. And I pray that as your people give this morning, Father, that you would bless them with the awareness that, Lord, they're putting you first. They're acknowledging that you are their source. You are their provider. You are their God. So, Lord, bless them for that. Bless them as they give. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know about you, but I am thoroughly enjoying studying the characters in the Bible. Are you? I just love it. Go ahead. Give the Lord a hand. Go ahead. And so, if you happen to be visiting from us, what we're doing is from the book of Hebrews. It says there's a great, great cloud of witnesses. And we don't quite understand how, but somehow it says they're witnessing what's going on here on the playing field. And they're witnesses who have already run the race of life, and now they're there watching us. And every generation, we have our chance to run. This is ours. Our one and only life right now. It's our race, and we're in it. But because we have Scripture, what we can do is we can look at this great cloud of witnesses who'd gone on before us, and now invite one of them each week to come out of the cloud. Sound like we're talking about computer, doesn't it? Out of the cloud. And come down on the playing field and actually take a lap with us. And so now we can get up close and personal and listen to what these guys have to say about our life journey. So today I want to invite Joseph down and say, Joseph, you know, you took... almost half of Genesis is about this guy. Half of the book of Genesis is about Joseph. Joseph, if you remember, was the great-grandson of Abraham. He had Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Jacob had Joseph. All right? And so let's invite him down and see what he has to say. As he's coming, let's read a scripture together that will sort of set the context in Genesis 37. Now, this first verse I'm going to read, how many of you know that the Bible is accurate in what it portrays? It doesn't necessarily mean that this is the way you live life. But it's an accurate story. And the accurate story is that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of the other children because he was born to him, it says, in his what? Old age. Is that right? Well, I mean, yes, that's kind of a trick question, isn't it? It's correct that it's in the Bible, yes? Is it right to do that? No. All right? No. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, and it was a beautiful robe. I'm amazed every time I read this story. It's like it just, there's such blindness in it, and they're set out to make it worse almost. I mean, you already got favoritism going on, right? Yes? And then what do you do with that? You make a robe and give it to guess which one? Yes. I mean, it's like, don't you see that? Don't do that. But he doesn't. One night, Joseph had a dream. And this dream, he told his brothers about it. And they, they did what? Hated him what? Are you following me? It's like everything you can do, make it worse. Listen to the dream, he said. We're out in the field together and tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed down before mine. How many of you know that's really going to go over well? Why you do this? So his brothers responded, and this is going to surprise you. This is going to shock all of you. So you think that you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think that you will reign over us? And they hated him. Gee whiz. Verse 9. So then Joseph had another dream. And again he did what? Everybody said, don't do that. But he did. Listen, he said, I had another dream. He said, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down before me. This time he told the dream to his father as well and his brothers. And the father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground to worship you? But the while, all of his brothers were jealous of Joseph, and his father wondered about the dream meant. Let's just cut the long story short. This continues until the brothers actually sell him off and he goes down in slavery in Egypt. That's how the story ends. Y'all know that. Let's invite Joseph down. Joseph, come on now. What was the very first thing you would tell us? Come on, Joe, talk to us. Cathedral here. We're all running this race. Talk to us. Very first thing I think he would say to us is this. Whatever you do, don't quit. Don't give up on your dream. No matter what, the dream God's given you, it will happen. Should he have done this with his brother? Could he have been more wise? Yes or no? Sure he could have, but is the dream still going to happen? Could he not even told his mom and dad in such a way that they were going to, could that happen? Yes. But is the dream going to happen? Yes, it's still going to happen, though it was not carried out perfectly. The Apostle Paul says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work, to consider me trustworthy, and has appointed me to serve him. Consider me trustworthy to carry through with this thing. Don't quit, even when, Joseph would say, don't quit when people don't believe in you. How many of you had family members and other people not to believe in you? How many people have ever had somebody tell you, you can't do this? You'll never accomplish that, huh? Yeah. Even though it's that way, don't stop, because the vision and the dream will still come to pass. A lot of people don't understand some of the conflict that Jesus had. In Mark chapter 6, it said this. I want you to listen to the sarcasm. Listen to the attitude. Can you pick up the attitude? Is this not the carpenter's, the son of Mary, the brother of James, it says, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not the sisters with us? What's that last phrase say? And so they were what? At who? Jesus. Everybody look at me. People are going to do what people want to do. Yes? People are going to say what people want to say. You cannot let the influence of whether they reject you or accept you determine whether you accomplish the dream and vision God's given you. You can't do it. You got to shake it off. Everybody in here right now, hold your hands out. Hold your hands out. I don't know what was said about you. I don't know what's in your ears. You can remember anything that is negative or anything that's done. Whatever it is, right now, I want you to shake it off. Shake it off. Go ahead, shake it off. Just say it out loud with me. Say it out loud with me. I will no longer be influenced by what they think, by what they say. I will accomplish the dream that God put in my heart. In Jesus' name, shake it off. Shake it off. So they were offended at him. Now, I know it's tougher the closer people are to you, friends. It's tougher. But if God's put a dream in your heart, then God will allow that dream to come to pass. All right? I think Joseph may also say to us that don't give up. If pursuing your dream, it looks like, and this is going to speak to somebody in here right now, it looks like you're actually going in the opposite direction. Anybody in here have a dream, and yet it seemed like the way you're going is moving you further from the dream? Huh? Anybody at all? Huh? You're going away from, well, everybody listen to this. The pilots who fly will tell you that oftentimes you can get a state of being where it feels like you are, in fact, going the wrong direction, when in fact you're going the right direction. Anybody ever been in the woods and had that experience? Been in the woods, you feel. Now, friends, listen to me. You can trust the leading. When God's leading you, even though it feels like and looks like and the situation seems like you're going in the opposite direction, you keep on walking that same direction, and one day you walk smack dab in the middle of your dream. There we go. All right, then it will be verified. Can you imagine Joseph? Can you imagine him? Just imagine with me just for a moment. Put yourself in his shoes for a moment. Can you imagine him standing there, having his hands tied behind him? And having these guys, I think it was the Midianite tribe, if I remember, who were coming by, passing by. Now, they're in Canaan. And passing through Canaan, his homeland, they put his hand behind him and they tie his hands. And he starts this journey of walking away from the promised land to Egypt. Can you imagine how he felt? Every step seemed to take him further away from his dream. Was he going further away from his dream, yes or no? Was he walking actually toward his dream? But did it feel like he was leaving his dream? So he kept on. Can you imagine the next morning when he woke up in, or the next few days after they got there, woke up as a slave in a foreign land? Everything had to be over. There's no way. I mean, there's no way this is going to happen. It's just, my dream is dead. Anybody ever felt like your dream was dead and just died? Friends, listen to me. God can resurrect a dream. God can, in particular, when you feel like it's gone, because God said to him, this will happen. Can I introduce something to you a little earlier than I did last service? You know what's more important than what happens to you? What happens in you. All right, Joseph, you're on this journey now. Your brother sold you out. Now you're journeying. What's more important, where he's going outwardly or where he's going inwardly? Where he's going outwardly is one thing, friends. But inwardly is the ball game. The game is an inside game. And I'm sure Joseph would tell us, whatever you do, guard your heart. Whatever you do, you watch out because your heart will lead you to your dream. Nothing on the outside can stop that dream as long as your heart is still beating with an openness and a freshness to God and receptivity to God. Nothing can stop it. The only kind of things that will stop it is when stuff gets down inside and now it begins to affect your heart, begins to affect your attitude. Now it starts to sabotage the dream. He's walking down. First thing he has to do, and I'm sure he will tell us, don't take baggage along with you. Don't take it. As a matter of fact, we probably need to stop right here. Probably is a good thing to stop. And Joseph probably would say this. He said, Micah, is your house all clear? First, Micah, are you all clear? Then is your house all clear? By that, I mean this. Anybody ever sold you out? Anybody ever hurt you and disappointed you? You know, anybody, you ever find yourself being sold out by brothers, our sisters, or people close to you? Anybody here at all? Anybody ever been sold out by somebody in a workplace? Huh? How about a yes? Yes. Anybody ever been sold out by a close friend? Anybody ever been hurt by somebody you didn't ever think would hurt you? Anybody? All right, let me ask you a question. How's your heart? Is there any unforgiveness there? Come on, work with me now. Come on. I'm like, I don't know. But just keep your eyes open. Would it be okay? Anybody here want to know? Anybody here want to know? No? Okay, you just go on. Go on. All right, keep your eyes open. If you want to know, keep your eyes open. Pray with me, Lord Jesus. I don't want any unforgiveness in my heart. I don't want to carry anything into my dream. I don't want to contaminate my life with bitterness, with wrong attitudes, judgmentalism. And so right now, I ask you to reveal, is there any person, family, friend, co-worker, that I have ought against? Would you reveal it to me right now in Jesus' name? Just take a moment. Just take a moment. Faces begin to flash to you. Don't question it. Don't begin to say, oh no. Just listen for faces to flash in your imagination, for names to come, for situations. Oh, yep, that was that hurt. That was there. All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Parents, children, go ahead. Siblings, anything. You ready? Put your hands in front of me. Cup them together like this. And now just imagine with me that those names and those people, whoever that is, whatever our situations, however it comes to your mind, I want you to place them there in your hands. And I want you to pray out loud with me as you're raising your hands. Lord Jesus, I forgive these people. I release them. In Jesus' name, take all these situations. I give them to you and I release them. Clean my heart. Forgive me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand, guys. I can feel that one. Somebody say with me, freedom. Say it loudly. Freedom.
Freedom.
All right. That's he would say, be sure you journey that way. Now, he goes on. Y'all know the story. He goes to work for this guy named Potiphar. And y'all remember the situation. What happens to Potiphar's wife? She starts having an eye for Joseph. Yes? He's a slave. Now, watch this. She has money. She has prestige. She has power. She has all the stuff you would think that anybody would need, except she had a hole in her soul. Now, I want you to watch this because this is a deception of a lot of people. A lot of people think that happiness is in the exterior world. It's not. Happiness and fulfillment, friends, is an inside job. I want you to look at this. You have a guy who's a slave. Watch this. Who's a slave. You have a woman who's wealthy and has it all. Now, look at me. She puts the make on him because she's got a hole in her soul. What that was, we don't know. But we know that she was after something that she thought would make life better, more fulfilling and richer because she was empty. And she was wanting to pull that, whatever that event was that she was working with, and it was going to, quote, do what it was supposed to do. On the other hand, look at a slave. A slave who is wholehearted, full-hearted, doesn't need that kind of stuff, but he's a slave, but he's full on the inside. And he looks right back at her and says, I don't have any need for that. I am full. You're a slave. But I am a full slave on the inside. You are wealthy, but you're empty. You have a big house, but you're empty. Because, friends, success without fulfillment is not really being successful. Fulfillment in life, being rich with God's blessings, of filling you up so that now those spots inside of you are not needy. That's internal wealth. So you can't just look on the external. And he would say, please don't do that. Joseph would say, hey, he would say to you and me, the happiness is an inside job. Fulfillment's an inside job. Being in a place where you're content is an inside job. It's not on the external. Be sure whether you are in the upper, the middle, the lower, no matter where you are on the spectrum, you walk and live as a fulfilled, full person. And so he said no. He was thrown in jail because of it. And now he's in jail suffering for something he's never done. Anybody here ever been falsely accused? Huh? Anybody ever here know what it's like to live with it and not be able to tell your story? Yeah? And so now he's there. He's in prison, suffering for something he didn't do. Don't quit. Don't quit, even when life seems unfair and unjust. What's more important, journeying on the outside or inside? Inside. So now he's journeying on the inside. He's trusting God, even though it's out of his control, out of his situation. He's trusting God. I know that I'm falsely accused, but God's a just God, so one day it will work out. I'm trusting him. One day it will work out. I'm trusting him. Keeping my heart right. Keeping my heart open. I'm not getting bitter. Keeping it right. Keeping it right. Don't quit. When now it turns into longer time than you waited, than you thought. Longer time. Had no idea it'd take so long. How many of you know that God is never late? Yes or no? But how many of you know he loves to push the limit? Wait on your dream. Wait on your dream. Habakkuk 2 says this. The vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, what? If it seems slow in coming? How many of you have a vision and a dream? Let me see your hand. How many of you have not realized your vision and dream completely yet? Let me see your hand. All right, keep them up. Watch this. Keep them up. Watch this. I want to read something to you while your hand's up. Watch this. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it surely will take place. Can anybody say, yay, God?
Yay, God.
Okay. Now, I want to do this. How many of you grew up in a church where you had responsive reading? Nobody knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, you'd read, and we used to do this in prayer in church. We'd read, and then the congregation would read responsive reading. So I'm going to practice this with you right here, because I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, it describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, then I want you to say, wait patiently, okay? Here, let me read the last line. If it seems slow in coming,
wait patiently.
For surely it will take place. All right, now I want to read the first one. I want you to say, for sure it will take place. It seems slow in coming. Wait patiently.
For sure it will take place.
Now turn and tell somebody else that. Joseph says, wait patiently. Wait. Is the vision coming? Yes or no?
Yes.
Will you have your dream? Yes or no?
Yes.
Is it slow coming? Yes or no?
Yes.
But will it come? Yes, wait, he says. 1 Peter 4 says, friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Is God on the job? Yes or no?
Yes.
Instead, be glad that you're in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. Glory is where? Just around the corner. Psalm 46:1. Read it with me. Read this out loud and loudly. God is our refuge and what? And always. Always what? All right. Look at Isaiah 43. When you go through the deep waters, I will be. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, when you walk through the fire of opposition, and the flames will not. Jeremiah 1:8, and don't be afraid of people. Now, who is this for? Because somebody's dealing with people. Don't be afraid of whom?
People.
Don't be afraid of them. For they will, don't be afraid of people. For I will be with you, and I will protect you, said the Lord has spoken. Jeremiah 1:19, they will fight you, but they will, say with me,
fail.
For I am with you, and I will
take care of you.
For I am the Lord, and I have spoken. Joseph, you're a marvelous example, and your advice is well taken. And what I want to do now, because I really am preparing this, I really believe that there are some people that's on this journey, and you really, you're down, or you're really discouraged, and you've been at it for a while. You know some of the, one of the phrases that's used in the Bible of what the enemy tries to do. You know, one of the phrases that's in the Greek you can translate in English is the phrase, wear you out. Anybody here try to have the enemy to wear you out? It just gets weary sometimes. It gets long sometimes. And that's why the Bible says you need to be refreshed. You need to have seasons where you're refreshed. And so I believe one of the purposes for this service this morning is to refresh you and to refill you. I believe the whole story of Joseph is to say, guys, your dream has come. Do not stop on your dream. I know it's longer. I know you seem like you're walking away from it. I know good and well that you have people issues where people disappointed you. But hey. Joseph said, it's all right. That was my life too and more. But I want you to look at the end of the story and see me when the vision came to pass and I'm sitting on a throne. Just supernaturally, God put me where I am. Supernaturally. But it all came together. I was 17 about when it started. By the time I got to the throne, I was about 40. So yeah, it may be slower. But don't give it up. Keep your vision and dream. You will have your heart's desire. And the way I want to seal this moment is, I want us to have communion together. And I want to seal this time and just really believe for a ministry time. For any of you who came and you're just weary, you're emotionally weary, maybe you're physically weary, spiritually weary, and let's believe God for a refreshing. Will you believe with me for a refreshing in the next few moments? All right, Father, we prepare our hearts now for this time of the service when we have communion together. I pray you just begin a refreshing, even while we're passing out the elements, while we're worshiping together. I know many times you visited Joseph and many times you encouraged him by your spirit. I'm sure that's the only way he made it through. And I pray now as we run our race and many of us go through some things that, like Joseph, are difficult, would you strengthen us and refresh us this morning in Jesus' name, amen. And it's just an open communion. So if you would, as they pass the elements out, just hold them, and then I'll come back in just a little bit, and we'll have communion together. You know, Jesus got his disciples together, and he gave them the elements like you're holding in your hand. And he took the bread, and when he took the bread, he said to them, "This is my body." I want you to watch this exchange. My body, this broken for you. Now, Jesus wasn't broken at the time. His brokenness was about to come on the cross. But it says, this brokenness that I am about to receive, I'm about to receive it because your brokenness I'm going to take and become broken. Now watch this. So that my wholeness can be given to you. I'll take your brokenness and I'll give you my wholeness. He said to his disciples, he said, this is the new covenant, the new agreement that I have with you, that I'll take your brokenness, I'll take your sin, I'll take what's not working about you, because Jesus is working 100%. And now I will transfer by faith over to you my wholeness. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul, when he was writing, he says, when you do this, which is communion, he says, do this in remembrance of me. And that word remembrance is not the word cognitively dial back up and recall. That's not what it is. It's the word that means to re-experience. In other words, I want you to go back to this agreement and go back to this covenant. And what actually now, where you are in life, what now needs to transfer over to you in your present day experience? What do you need of this covenant that I've given you right now? Is it peace? Is it forgiveness of sin? What is it? Because to remember means you re-experience it and go back to your salvation plate and it says, dip again and get whatever you need in this great exchange. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, I'm going to ask you to take your element, if you would. And he said to his disciples, this is the body, my body. Now don't break it yet, but he said it's going to be broken for you. And by faith in the future now, every time you go back through this, you remember that wherever you are unwhole, I want you to give it to me, because I'm being broken so my wholeness can flow back to you. But you got to receive it by faith. If you just sit with an inactive mind and inactive faith working, then you just break a cracker and drink some juice. But if you engage your faith, you can say, Lord, I thank you for a covenant that was signed in your blood that transferred who you are and what you are over to me. And right now, by faith, I receive what I need in Jesus' name. Take a break and eat. I just want to take a moment and before we drink the juice which represents his blood and reiterate what we happened earlier in service. There's a marvelous part of the story that just is incredible. It happens later on when Joseph's brothers now come to see him. And when they come to see him and he realizes now that the dream is coming true and they're bowing before him. I hope he got a little smarter and didn't go, ha-ha, I told y'all. I hope he was more mature by this point. But they came, and then they were so afraid when they discovered who he was that he was going to hurt them. And then he said these incredible words. You meant it for evil, but God used it for good. Right now, would you look back over your life and every person who's hurt you, every situation that you're in, every time you thought you were derailed and you couldn't get back on, every circumstance that now, and purposeful or non-purposeful, can't you just, in your imagination, can you look at those situations and say out loud with me, you might have meant it for my evil, but God used it for my good. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you take and drink and seal with the blood of Jesus? We'd pass the containers to your aisle and let's continue to worship. You know, last week we had a couple of words of knowledge, and one of them was about a lower back that was hurting. And the lady told me after, she said, thank you so much. I came to church, my back was felt like it was going to break. and said, I'm leaving church now, and it feels absolutely wonderful. Yeah. So let me just ask you a very honest question. How many of you came today and you feel more refreshed now and fuller because you came and God, very good. That was His purpose. That was His purpose. So, Lord bless you, Lord keep you, Lord cause His face to shine upon you. And I bless you with refreshment. I bless you with just a fresh breeze of God blowing on you. And I bless you, don't quit and give up your dream no matter what. Keep on walking into your dream. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you guys. Have a great week.